In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, the component of the scriptural Christmas account are all so familiar to so many of us. They are part of who we are. They're woven into the fabric of our lives. And they're hardwired into our memory banks. We love hearing them. We love sharing them. And many of us, if we hear someone else offering those facts and they don't get something just quite right, we're just itching to be the one to make the correction. When it comes to the birth of our Savior, we want everyone to get the details right. We even expect the unbelieving world around us to get all of those details correct, even though they're unbelievers, or perhaps just leave the whole thing alone. When it comes to Christmas, the narrative is so pervasive that it almost stuns us when we cross paths with someone who reveals that they really don't have any idea of what this is all about or how this goes. But what does it all actually mean? I suspect there are many holiday passers-by who would hone in, who would listen, and maybe even silence all the din of all the rest of the holiday activities around them if they knew they had someone who could share with them what this really means, why it's important for them to know. If they only had someone to more clearly delineate the core meaning of all these events. God certainly did not hide them in any way. An angel lights the heavens with brilliant light and proclaims, "Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you." God has made certain in His Word what this all means with detail and with clarity, and yet so many people have little idea why this day should be so important to them. Fascinating, isn't it? That through his gospel writer, John, the Holy Spirit really addresses even that too, doesn't he? We read, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." The child born of the Virgin Mary was born of God. This was and is no ordinary child. In this child, as Paul tells us in Galatians, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. God is ever present in this world that he created. And yet, when God himself arrived in his world, wearing human flesh, the world in general refused to recognize who he truly was. Born in the town of Israel's greatest king to a descendant of that king's line, one would think every Hebrew would have thrilled to receive him. But no. His own clan, tribe, people rejected him. Despite longingly awaiting his arrival through hundreds of generations, with each one of those generations having full-time experts who spent every moment of every day studying all of the promises and prophecies of the Messiah. And yet, to every human soul who has ever received and believed in him for who he was and still is, the very Son of God in human form, from heaven, fully human, he gives the right to become the children of God. We might react with first article catechetical certainty that because God is the creator, then every single human being that has ever lived on the face of this earth is his child, and you would be correct. But John anticipated such a challenge and was led by the Holy Spirit to take the conversation here a step further, a step beyond that reveals that there is a whole nother level of being born of God. Every human soul that believes by faith that Jesus was born of God in the way that he was born of God through Mary at Bethlehem, John is telling us that those souls are not born of God, children of God, just by nature, just by biology, just by all of the usual human realities. Rather, John is making it clear that these souls are eternal children of God. In Christ being born of God, they receive the certainty that they will be God's children forever. John is not talking about just this life. How did this happen? Well, John tells us the Word that was and is and always will be God became flesh with us and lived for a while among us. While he was here, he revealed the full glory of the one and only true God by demonstrating God's power and mercy over and over and over again. He did that by healing bodies that were either broken or born with the whole myriad of human ailments. He fed thousands. He controlled the weather. He manhandled demons. And he offered complete forgiveness and release of guilt to every seeker that approached him to receive it. And he didn't just do that with words. No, he backed up those divine proclamations by offering himself and his sinless life into a brutal and voluntary death, only to take his own life back on the third day. In his greatest demonstration of divine power, glory, grace, and truth. And that's what this day, Christmas Day, is all about. To paraphrase a famous line from a famous movie, but apply it to Jesus. You want him to be born of God. You need him to be born of God. No other being is capable of doing what this Jesus is uniquely qualified to do as the one born fully God and fully human. And yet his being born of God only means all that it means for you and me eternally if Jesus follows through and offers his life. That's because if Jesus never dies, or if Jesus ever sins, you and I can never ever be born of God. But Jesus was born of God. He lived a perfectly obedient life as the God-man. Even though he faced temptation and the ugly realities of our broken human lives as we do every day, and yet was victorious over sin, temptation, death, grave, hell. So now, you and I have no doubt whatsoever that not only can be, we are born of God eternally, because Jesus was born of God over 2,000 years ago in that Bethlehem stable. But don't be misled by the tense of that verb, that he lived among us for a while. He is still our brother born of God. He still wears our humanity. He is still fully God and human right now, reigning on the throne of heaven. But before he physically left to ascend to heaven, in those last moments he spent with his disciples, he told them, I will be with you always to the very end of time. While it should stun us that God took on human flesh, became one of us, lived among us, it should be equally stunning to us that he still wears our human flesh, that he is still our human brother. He remains the Word, became flesh forever. But this does not limit his omnipresence, restricting it in any way. Rather, his being born of God means that all that is God is fully present in the Word, the person of the Word, the God-man, from the moment of his conception and his birth on into eternity. And thus we are born of God in exactly the same way, and will never ever cease to be children of God. That's precisely why the Holy Spirit has led us through gospel writings such as this to receive and believe in this Jesus, this God in human flesh, all that he is, all that he will be. So today, we celebrate our Jesus being one with us in flesh. We celebrate all that it means to be born of God for us, now and forever, that our Creator God became one with us. We receive his body and blood together to participate in what it means to be born of God. We hear his word. We joyously sing his praise. We offer him our prayers and offerings. Why? Because we desire to acknowledge to our Lord and to his world that we know him, that we receive him, and that we believe in him. We are here today on this Christmas morning because we understand and cling to the truth stated here in John chapter 1. Because he was born of God, we are born of God. We not only can be, but we are. And there never will be in this life or in eternal life to come a better reason for us to worship our God, our Jesus Christ, as our only Savior, our brother, our Lord, and God. In his birth, in his life and his death for us, in his resurrection from death, we are born of God to live forever. That simply is the most important fact about Christmas you could ever know, or that you could ever share with someone else. It is true. It is true of every last human soul who will live forever with God in a new heaven and a new earth. Born of God, he was, so that you are. Amen. Please stand. I'll grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.